Let's do it. Great. Good. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to call to order the April the 3rd meeting, year 2023, of Berkshire County Board of Commissioners. I'd like to welcome everybody here in person and those on the Zoom line with us. Delighted to have you. We're going to kick off a meeting. First, I want to make sure that we do a roll call. Commissioner Balance is going to be here. It's going to be just delayed just a bit, but he is going to be here in a few moments. So let the, LaShonda, if you would show that there are three other commissioners, four present, and Kerr and the Commissioner Balance will be here shortly. Thank you. Commissioner Robinson, would you lead us in the invocation and the pledge?
Pledge is mine, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon. Let's pray. Our Father, tonight my heart lay heavy and very heavy on saying thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the past. And Jesus, I'm going to thank you for the future. Please continue to bless Berkshire County and all the other counties in the United States and the world. Please continue to help Berkshire County become more efficient, more rewarding to those who work hard and get paid less. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. Join us in the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Commissioner Robinson.
Thank you.
Great. Commissioners, you've seen the agenda. You have a copy of it in front of you. Are there any additions or attractions from the agenda as it stands? Hearing none, the agenda stands approved. I want to make sure that we read into record the North Carolina State Government Ethics Act, as we always do. It says, in accordance with the State Government Ethics Act, it is the duty of every board member to avoid both conflict of interest and appearance of conflict. Does any board member have any known conflict of interest or appearance of conflict with respect to any matter coming before the board tonight? If so, please identify the conflict or appearance of conflict and refrain from any undue participation in the particular matter. Does any board member have any conflict to announce?
No.
Hearing none? Great. Thank you very much. All righty. We always have a public comment section at the beginning of our meeting. So if there's anyone here, citizen, who has anything to bring before us, please come forward. I want to always say that there will be a public comment section at the end of our meeting. So if anything, you know, comes up in the meeting that you might want additional comment about, you can do that at the end. But the floor is now open for anyone who has a public comment. Don't be shy. LaShonda, do we have anyone on the phone?
No.
Okay, great. Well, remember that there will be a public comment section at the end. Let's go to our appointments and reports from our agenda. First thing up, we have a presentation by the ABC Board Chair, Miles Davis. Miles, come forward.
Thank you for allowing us to attend. This is something we like to do annually. Tonight I come before you, I want to inform you that we're always not here to ask for money, but to give money to back to the citizens of North Carolina.
That's a good thing.
I want to state that we had a great, if anybody missed it, a great alcohol education at Burt T. High School last Wednesday. This is the first education we have been able to do and sponsor in the past 3 years because of the pandemic. I want to thank the sheriff and his department, EMS, wildlife, Burt T. County System, Burt T. County Government, the Governor Highway Safety, and the ABC Commission for being collaborators to this project. Unfortunately, I was going to recognize one of our employees, Ms. Makita Outlaw, but we had an employee get sick and she had to stay. That's what happens when you have to run a business and could not be here, but she was very involved in every step of the way of organizing the event, and we could not have accomplished it without her. I want to also recognize our general manager, Clint Freeman. who has guided the Burke T. County system for several years. Do you want to say anything? Okay. Before presentations are made, I would like to give you some details. And I want you all to realize that the figures I'm giving is not taxpayers' money. Okay. And this money supports that we are going to give you supports the citizens of North Carolina, of this state. And what I'm going to give you the statewide figures and the county figures, whether you drink or you don't drink, everybody benefits from this. The past year, the North Carolina General Fund received from the ABC Commission $400 million. Law enforcement received $13 million. Education, $16 million. In Burke T. County, the system has to present for law enforcement, and we're going to do those presentations later, $1,174 to education, which is supposed to go to the Burke T. County school system, $1,643, and to the citizens of Burke T. County. You ready? This is for 2 years. $69,788.
Yes.
This money comes, I want to explain because some I know we had two new commissioners. This money comes after our expenses. We've had expenses because of increase in inflation and because of the issue the county has. And then if we have an issue that the county has to deal with, OPEB liability, which we're just trying to figure out how to resolve it the best way y'all have too, which that liability is $390,000 just to our system, just to this county ABC system. As y'all know, in the past, we had an issue with our auditor. We have hired a new auditor, Jay Paris from Kinston. This auditor was recommended by an accountant and John Edwards out of Hertford County, who does both Hertford and Burke T. County's ABC accounting. Also, we under the understanding and firm belief from his past that he has a firm knowledge of how the ABC system should be audited. And may I speak about something concerning auditing? My lobbyist, our lobbyist, the ABC Association has a lobbyist that deals with us. House Bill 122, and y'all might want to mention this to your lobbying. This bill will punish counties and municipalities who are late on their audits. And one thing, it is difficult to find auditors willing to take on small towns and small ABC stores. I mean, I could give a good example that the town of Lewiston Woodville would be a good example of someone who had missed their audit. But what would happen is that special funding that that town would get, they would not get as a punishment. As something in rural areas, especially ours, we need to, I think, have your lobbyists address. And that is one reason we are replacing our auditor, not only because of Mr. Commissioner Wesson, remember the thing we had several years ago, but if I did not go get my draft audit from him and hand deliver it to the ABC Commission, we would have been late. We would have missed our deadline. So this is something that I don't think is very fair for small, because auditors like to take the big clients and wait for the small clients. I just want to pass this information on in case you want to pass. Let me just let you know the State House has already passed this bill. Now it's in the State Senate. Like I say, for the new board members, I like to explain a little bit how the ABC, we work without taxpayers' money. Our employees are not government employees. They don't work for the county. They don't work for the state. The employee salary benefits, our utilities, the tech system that we have to keep up, which is mandated by the ABC Commission. So we have to use their tech system, technology, store maintenance, inventory are all paid from our sales. Out of every $1 that we get from sales, 80 to 85% goes back to the system, meaning it goes back to the ABC Commission, it goes to the General Assembly, it goes to pay the warehouse fees, it goes back to pay for the distribution. We live in a three-tier system, which means you have a distillery, then you have a wholesaler, and then you have a buying system. And that means out of the 20 to 15%, we have to pay all our bills and salaries and then your distributions that you get. Before I make introductions or presentations, do you all have any questions? All right. This is wonderful. I guess that big number we gave. I want to introduce our newest board member, Sharon Jones. Ms. Jones, when she was appointed, had some big shoes to fill after the passing of Mr. James Pugh. I can say she has been an active member and has been eager to learn. I am asking her to come forward and say a few words and present the county with its law enforcement check.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
It's a joy to be here amongst all of you. I want to thank you so much for just engraving me in. I feel so comfortable, safe, all of that. At this time, I want to present to you guys a check for law enforcement. Thank you so much. And again, I want to give y'all sort of warm welcome for me, for having me in, inducting me. And I promise you, I will feel the shoes. I'll try to feel the shoes of Mr. Pugh as much as I can.
Let me tell the audience something about Ms. Jones that they need to know.
Okay.
You know, she waited her turn because she wanted to serve on this board. And we did not have an opening for several years.
Yep.
But she always expressed that interest. And when an opening did come, you are a unanimous choice. And thank you very much.
You are so welcome once again to the board. I appreciate every one of you. Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Jones. Thank you for all your hard work.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, she is a very hard worker, and I appreciate her appointment. Next, I want to introduce our old timer. Mr. Michael Freeman. He's still a valuable voice on our board. He gives us some wisdom from past times, and I'm asking him to come forward to present the check for county education.
Good evening.
Good evening,
Mike. He kind of misspoke when he said old timer. It's all time, right? Before I present you the ACA Hall education check, I like to run some numbers by you like Miles did. $292,000 we gave to the state in excise tax.
Just our store.
That's just right. That's just our store. We're giving you almost $70,000. Wouldn't it be nice if we could reverse those numbers?
Yeah.
That $293,000, it comes off the top before we even could get it in the cash register. So that, you know, that's something to think about. And this number, Miles didn't mention, but $28,000 in sales tax. If I'm not mistaken, it comes back to the county or percentage of it. Sales tax.
Well, we do claim sales tax.
That's correct.
So that number is not included in the check that Miles is presenting. But anyway, for alcohol education, like Miles said, we did a wonderful presentation at high school last Wednesday, and we thank the people that helped us with it. But I have a check for $1,643 for alcohol education, which goes to the high school.
All right.
Thank you, Mike, for that. Of course, not least, our nice check for $69,000. And if we would like to do it as we have in the past, our board members and the commissioner, can we all come down and get a picture of us giving y'all, handing you the check?
Sir.
I'm taking it in my phone. You got a
We are probably one of the only boards in the county that don't ask them for money.
All right.
Okay, tell us. Get us clamp.
Come on, Commissioner Bounce. as they say in music, on the three. One, two, three.
Take several.
One, two, three.
It's hard for me to hold it in.
One to one. All right.
All right.
Thank you, boss.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much. Thank you, Michael. It's been a
while. Yes.
Everybody should know that we have a very experienced board. Miles is not telling, but Miles used to be president of the state association.
Yes, that is.
Mm-hmm. And so having that kind of experience, that kind of knowledge on our board has been very important. Thank you.
Miles.
Thank you. I was going to take this home. I think I better leave it. Next on the agenda, I want to introduce to the audience here someone new in her role, but not new to the kind of work that she's doing. A lot of you may remember Bland Baker, who was the community person with Trillium for many, many years. And he retired officially end of last year.
February 28th was February, his last
this
official
year.
Day.
Yes. And I was there at the last event he had when we were there together mm-hmm. with the vans that are going across three counties, providing services, partnership between Trillium and
Monarch.
Yep. So that was great. So, Bobby Lowe, glad to have you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman, Commissioners, for allowing me to come tonight. So I don't have a check. So that's a little hard to follow giving out checks.
Well, Bland used to bring us checks.
I might have something. I just don't have one right now.
Bland brought us $300,000 one time.
What was that one for?
The playground.
That was my previous job. But I am going to start off script and say that Bertie got about $9 million in service. So it's not a check. But to the folks in Bertie County who received services, the total cost last fiscal was $9,193 and some change.
Wow.
So that is good news for Bertie County, even though I'm not giving you a check today. People who live here are getting services and supports. All right, let me figure out this one. I can just hit the button.
There we go.
So what I'm going to go over tonight, I'm going to tell you a little bit about who we are. A lot of this information is not new. We'll talk about Medicaid transformation, some of our changes within the organization, and then some specific Bertie County data. Oh, well, I don't know what I did. I hit that. Oh, they've got control over it.
Yes, and this should work.
That's fancy. All right, there we go. Got it. Cool. So at Trillium, we cover 28 counties. Our most recent additions were Halifax and Bladen. We've got a population in our 28 counties of about 1.5 million folks. Out of those 1.5 million people who are served under Trillium, we served almost 46,000 individuals last year. Right now, our network that we manage, we have about 550 providers who are providing mental health, substance use, and IDD services to folks. The total services for all of our counties was $520 million. We're divided into three regions. This really hasn't changed. We have added Halifax into our northern region. In the northern region, we are the largest in terms of counties, but we are the smallest in terms of population. A lot of our area is very rural. So a little bit about Medicaid transformation. This is the same thing that you have been hearing about since like 2017, 2018. This is continuing the same work in progress. Managed care is happening with Medicaid. It has happened with standard plans. They went live July 1st of 2021. And what that means is Medicaid, total health care, physical health, and behavioral health are being managed by the five standard plans. Four of those are commercial plans. They're your insurance companies, Blue Cross, AmeriHealth, United, WellCare, and then Carolina Complete Health is a provider-led entity. So they're managing physical health care and behavioral health care for most people who have Medicaid in Bertie County. Most individuals fit on a standard plan. And so the biggest thing to note with that is that a good portion of people who are still getting care in the future, it will not be done under us. For people who have those mild needs. So the tailored plan is where we're going to fit. All six of the MCOs in the state of North Carolina will become tailored plans. What that means is that we're going to be managing their physical health care and behavioral health care for people who have severe needs, just as we have always done. This is not a new population for us. These are the people that we have been supporting for years. The biggest difference is that where we've always managed mental health, substance use, we're also going to be managing physical health care. And so that's new. That's not something we typically do. So we're contracting with standard plan partners to help us manage that. The other big change with that is that we are also going to be managing pharmacy benefits. So your pharmacy will be contracted with us. Your pharmacy will be contracted with us. All the pharmacies, we're going through contracts. We have a pharmacy benefits manager. It's going to end up being about 2,000 pharmacies we're going to be contracting with and having to have staff to manage those contracts. And on the physical health side, it is thousands. We have 550 now for mental health and substance use and IDD services. But when you think about your doctor, your cardiologist, your physical therapist, all the hospitals, all of those will be contracted with us. Most of them are in the future. I mean, most of them are now, and we're still working to get all these contracts in place. The original go live date, this has changed a lot. The most recent change happened February 27th. Our date went from April 1st. It's been pushed back to October 1st. And the reason behind that is the way the contract is set up with the state. All six of the MCOs have to be ready to go live. Everyone has to be ready or it doesn't move forward. So we at Trillium, we've met most of our benchmarks. We were ready to go, but everyone isn't. So now it's been pushed back again until October. There's also been a soft launch of tailored care management. One other big change is everyone who fits on a tailored plan. And that's those people who have those more severe mental health, substance use, and IDD needs. They will all have access to tailored care management as a service to help them access everything they need. These are the regions. It hasn't changed. It's still our same 28 counties we'll be managing. The care management change, that went live December 1st. We did what they're calling a soft launch, where they're starting to bring in people who will potentially be tailored plan. Those folks have already been identified by the state. We've got a pharmacy contracts manager who's going to be working with those 2,000 pharmacies. And we're also working on contracting with all primary care agencies and all those other medical providers. And it is a ton. Some of our changes inside, our system of care staff, who are the people who have always been the boots on the ground in each county, they've moved to our care management department. And so what it does is it puts those folks who have been local in the counties now in care management to take that perspective to care management. We hired community liaisons. There is a person, her job is to work in Bertie County. They work in about three or four counties. They attend all your community meetings, your meetings at your health department, some with your school system, anything they can find to attend to just be a local representative.
I know who that person is.
Shanita Vaughn. Yep. Hope Ely was a system of care coordinator, and she is still acting as system of care coordinator. She's just in care management. But Shanita, who has been in our system forever, she is the community liaison for Bertie County. One other change is care management is also looking at things from a population health perspective. And so that has been brought into care management. They've actually have a population health director. Some changes we have done to get ready for this tailored plan. We've added a pharmacy line. If we're going to be managing people's meds, they need to have a pharmacy line. So we're going to have a pharmacy call center. We have added a nurse call center so people can call and ask a nurse because we'll be their health plan. Just like when you call your health plan, you have the ask a nurse line. we're going to be our members' health plan. So we're going to have the same service available. We've always had the member and recipient service line. That's not changing. We've always had the behavioral health crisis line, and that's 24 hours a day, and that's answered by a licensed clinician. It's not 10 push of buttons. A licensed clinician answers the phone when you call. We also developed a provider line because if providers aren't happy, they're the ones who provide the service. So we have to make sure that our providers get what they need from us so that they can continue to serve all the members who need services. We developed some specialty teams in care management. One, we have a team that just works for people who are in the ED. So when our members end up in the emergency department, we have staff assigned to each hospital. And so they work with the hospital to try to come up with where can they go next? What's going to be the next option? What services? And work with them on that, on those needs. We have a team now that works just with kids who are in juvenile justice. And then we have a team who works specifically with kids who fit what you call rapid access. Those kids who come into some form of custody and need services very urgently. So a couple of updates. So Trillium is we're a public company. So any funding we have, it goes back into reinvestment. And so a couple of things we have going on. We did some opioid settlement, just like, you know, you have some opioid money. We got a little bit too. And so we put ours out there for RFP and allowed various community agencies to apply for that. And so that went far and wide and lots of people got it, and we're continuing to hand out. We're going to be handing out some more checks to different community agencies for that. We'll be doing more of the naloxone kits. We try to do that every year. And so we'll be ordering that. That's some of our ABC. Thank you that we'll be putting that out there to be distributed. We have the mobile clinics. You have the one here in Bertie. And Bertie DSS has been phenomenal about making referrals. The response that clinic has got in Bertie is one of the best responses that has happened anywhere. And it's because of DSS. It's because they're actually promoting it and telling people that it's out there. Go talk to them. Go see what it's about. And that's been a wonderful partnership. And we have our CFAC, which is the Consumer and Family Advisory Council. And that's the council that advises us from a family member's perspective. It's from people who have received services or their family. So that has added traumatic brain injury. So that's a person who can be on that committee now. One other thing is we have the Healing Place that just opened in New Hanover County, which I know is not close, but it's available to anyone. And that is a peer-led long-term recovery center. So someone can actually go stay there for like 18 months. And so people from all over go there. That was only the second one in the state of North Carolina. That was a really exciting thing to have here. We'll be doing a ribbon cutting on that May 11th. So if people call us and they fit and they would qualify for that, that's something we can refer people to. It's not common to have a long-term recovery like that. Healthy Opportunities Pilot is something I did want to talk about here because Bertie is actually one of the counties. There are three pilots in North Carolina. We have two of them are within our catchment area. And this relates to Medicaid transformation. So this will go live for our members when we can become a tailored plan. And what Healthy Opportunities does, it allows Medicaid to cover certain evidence-based interventions around things like housing, food, transportation, to see if there's better health outcomes. Because we all know if people don't have access to food, to transportation, to a place to live, if those social determinants aren't taken care of, your health is going to suffer.
Let me ask you a question real quick, since you're on the subject of housing. Explain to me what you can do in reference to housing as far as, I mean, of course, it affects somebody's psyche, okay, mm-hmm. and what their thought process is and where they're going to live and things of that nature. But when you talk about housing, what is Trillium going to do or how are they going to assist in housing? I'm trying to fine line this thing.
Mm-hmm. So for Healthy Opportunities, what happens is they work with various community partners. And those partners will be contracted and actually get some Medicaid reimbursement around those evidence-based practices around housing. And that might be helping with housing navigation. It might be prevention from becoming homeless. because it's cheaper to help someone stay in a house than it is to have to rehouse them.
Okay.
And so some of that allows for that to be covered with Medicaid dollars.
Right, but this has not been taken. This is not in effect as of yet, correct?
If for people who are on a standard plan, it is in effect because it is tied to Medicaid transformation. For people who are tailored plan, it will go in effect once the tailored plan goes live.
Okay.
And so what that means is for most people who are on Medicaid, these programs are already out there. It is brand new and it's a learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are getting up and running. But most of the programs who are doing the services are not new. There are things that have been in our communities for years. It's just other funding and it's done in a more systematic way.
Where would people call? Where would they call to find out this information?
So whoever their health plan is would help them navigate that. For us, we've been working on social determinants of health for a few years. We actually did it a whole department that worked with housing, food, and transportation about 2 or 3 years ago called Neighborhood Connections.
Well, help me understand this a little bit better.
Sure.
And again, I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
I will answer you the best I can.
Okay. Hypothetically, I mean, you had different insurance companies out there, Blue Cross. I'll make a long story short. They've got Blue Cross Medicaid, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They would call them and they would say, hey, I've got issues with paying rent. I got issues with this, blah, blah, blah. And they say what? I mean, they do what?
So I can't speak to what their process will look like. I can tell you what ours will look like.
Okay, but that...
Because they might have their own process because they're 4 different insurance plans.
Or they may not have a process at all, or they say, we know nothing about this because they haven't been trained in it.
Yeah, I can't speak for the standard plan.
It's the missing link is what I'm trying to say. And that is in several governmental type of things. Certain people tell you about the new BBD, the bigger and better deal, but in reality, the other people who are supposed to help you that are supposed to know about the bigger and better deal, they don't know about it.
Well, and this is all new. So there's definitely going to be a learning curve there. The way it'll work for us, because that we have this in place, we were ready for this on April 1st. The department that's setting this up, they've been working with SDOH for several years now. And so to actually have it be coverable under Medicaid is huge. And hopefully it'll give us some evidence that shows if we help support housing, people have better health outcomes, because that's huge. For us, what will happen is if you call our call center, you're going to get sent to our Neighborhood Connections Department. Those are the people who are already helping connect people to social determinants of health, to housing, to transportation. They will screen them and then refer them to the correct agency. That's how it will work with us.
And Bobby, that's the key piece, I think. The money that's going into this is not going to create new program. It's actually going to help fund existing programs out there. You guys are going to be doing the referral piece so that those programs can have greater capacity
to serve
more people.
Yes. And there'll be hopefully some additional things to look at, the evidence-based intervention. So they can say, if we do this housing plan, if we do this housing program, there's a reduction in hospitalizations. There's a reduction in people having emergency room visits because they have a place to keep their medicine in a refrigerator now. Because all those things happen. So that's how it will work for us. I can't speak to how it's being done under standard plans because we're not one. But the providers who are doing it, this county is served under Access East. And so they would also help people navigate that. And then the community-based organizations who are contracted to do this service would also be an avenue to help direct people to the right place. Once we start doing this, we'll be able to share information and get it out and about to try to spread the word so more people know how to access it.
In a year when you come back, I'm going to find out how many people have activated this and how much they have done towards this. I'm just curious how this is going to move.
Because it is new.
I've sat in several different meetings before, and I hear people talk on different panels about, one of the key things about poverty is housing.
Okay? Mm-hmm. It's huge.
Okay. And I hear this all the time. Well, the simple thing is, let's start building some houses in the rural area and stop discriminating against rural.
Okay? And make them affordable.
And make them workforce housing, affordable housing, whatever you want to call it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And do these things. I mean, we've talked to Commerce. We've talked to people in the state, North Carolina Housing Finance Agencies. I mean, the protocol they have to have to be able to do these things is a grocery store, a drugstore within 2.5 miles of the project. If it goes in, what developer wants to come in here because they can't, due to the fact they can't get the state and federal tax credits because of this?
Because we don't have access to the food.
That's the reason you say these things, and it's not you by no means, please. Okay. I just want to see where it's going to be in 12 months because I don't believe it.
But here's the point, though. And John's right. We have a critical problem around housing in this county. But the program that you guys are putting in place is not going to provide additional housing.
No, it won't.
It's not going to do that.
No, and I understand that. But she's talking about guidance. Guidance, yes. To where? If there's nowhere to guide somebody, then you have nothing to guide them to.
But sometimes there's a lot of things that go on in our community that people don't know about. And it's about making sure people know where to access the right things. And then sometimes there might be things attached like eviction prevention. Sometimes it's landlord negotiations, which it's not building new apartments. No, and I don't think that'll happen under Medicaid
And
dollars.
I don't think that's what I was saying. My point is, you know, when you're sitting there and you're pointing people in the right direction, and the direction is there's nothing there for them to rent, number one, okay? Mm-hmm. Number two, what you have is completely full, vacancies, things of that nature. It's not there. I meant 35% of the population work here in Bertie County. Don't even live in Bertie County. Why? No houses.
There's nowhere to rent.
Okay, exactly.
And part of this sometimes is going to be about prevention because people get behind and they can't get caught up. And once you get behind and get kicked out, it's a snowball. And then you can't get in anywhere else because you have this on your record. And so a part of this is usually going to be around prevention because it is a lot cheaper to help someone get caught up and figure out how can we help them stay where they're at than it is to try to get someone rehoused. Now, that doesn't help all the people who don't have a place. But for the ones that it does help, it'll be a great help.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Okay. I had a question. Robin, I have to get it.
Sure. Just a live example. So in Bertie County, there's two nonprofits that are participating with Access East.
Right.
And so one is Carolina Rebuilding Ministry. And then the other is Good Shepherd Food.
That's correct.
And so what they've learned is through Access East, that Carolina Rebuilding Ministry will get funding for Medicaid for low-income housing repair.
Mm-hmm.
But then under Access East, if somebody comes and says, you know, we need help with X, Y, and Z, but it may not be home remediation or home repair, that people in that network will have a list of, okay, well, this is where you go.
Mm-hmm.
This is
where you go. Right.
Yep.
Have you experienced this yet, Mr. Roberts?
I have.
It's brand. It's new.
Yep. Well, I experienced some of the clients call my office for housing, to rent a house, you know. And sometimes, 99% of the times, I don't have any vacancies because I treat the people too good.
They're not leaving.
Yeah. But I think Commissioner Trent, I think Commissioner Wilson, and everybody here would love to see Trillion partnership and put some houses on the ground.
I think we're getting up a little off track. Let me tell you why. Trillium cannot do that. They're not challenged.
Well, I'm not on that track. I'm not on that track. Okay. So that's not my track.
Their job is to aid people who come under insurance in this case and direct those people to existing services that are out there. Now, here's where it's important, because if they're putting additional money in those things, how many times do citizens go to agencies and they say, the money's gone? We've used all the money. We don't have any more vouchers. We're not a vest. So when you have an organization that can provide it, not only directing people to where services are, but having to get additional fund to those services to operate. The perfect example was, let's say that you're have an addiction, right, to an opioid. And where do you go, right? You go to an organization that's going to have bed space, but a lot of times those places don't have bed space, right? And so an organization like Trillium can help support that, whether that's through an organization like Port Human Services or all the others that are out there, right? So this is the point. But the point we're trying to make, Bobby, is that our citizens suffer for the lack of housing, period.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So having services to refer them to is a great thing, right? But that only gets, you know, if you don't have a good place to live, if there's no apartment that you can rent, these kinds of things, it doesn't get us all the way.
You're still in the catch 22.
Yeah, yeah. And this isn't going to be the end all be all by any means.
Right.
That's the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah,
the point I'm trying to make is you've got this set up where people supposedly can call, get the assistance, but there's nothing out there to assist them with.
And sometimes it's just going to be about navigation. And sometimes it's helping people get on the right waiting list. And waiting lists aren't the answer. But for public housing, a lot of times that's what we're working with. Because we deal with that every day, too. We get those phone calls every day, too. But what this will allow will be for some funding that will help. It'll actually help fund these things. People use a system called NCCARE 360. Like you were mentioning, if they don't have what it is, they can go through that and see who might. And it's meant to do coordinated referrals back and forth between agencies. So people don't have to tell their story 30 times to get to the right person, hopefully.
And the one best example on the partnership that at Carolina Rebuilders has is, even though we're new to Bertie County, the waiting list of homes already approved is over 100.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's homes to be repaired.
Homes to be repaired for people, so who, own, people who own the house and live in the house, but they want to keep their house. Mm-hmm. They need a new roof. You know, there's water on it. They need all kinds of issues with the home, right? So how do you make that organization effective? Because they need funds in order to operate. They're doing it without pay from these homeowners for them. So an organization like this can refer people to Carolina Rebuilders and say, we're sending funds there. We're helping them, you know, to provide services. That's a good thing.
But
that's
not the direction thing. As far as finding a home. Okay. No,
they don't. Do that.
You know, that's the point you were trying to say, but it's not happening. It's not going to happen. I mean, because there's no homes to out there.
Yeah, I mean, they can't send someone to what's not there.
Exactly
right.
But what they can do is help people navigate what is there, navigate all those different systems and know where to go to get what. And then for those agencies like you're speaking of, provide some funding so that they can help people. And it is by far from an end all be all. We need affordable housing complexes. We need single bedroom units so people, you know, can live. We need more units that are energy efficient, and they need to be affordable because people can't afford to pay rent.
That's a message we need taken back to the state.
Yes.
Bobby, that it's great that Trillium provides these kinds of services at that level through existing agencies. And that's great, mm-hmm. right? But we also need other providers of actual housing, which your agency does not do and cannot do. But help us take that message back to the
state. Oh, and we do. We have people who sit on the housing finance. Sure. We do a lot of grants through HUD. We just got notification of some more. And these are small grants. But if they help 20 people who have serious persistent mental illness stay in housing, that's great. And they do help people in all the different counties. They're not huge. But for people who are being served, it's huge. You know, for that one person, it's saving, it's huge. And so, but I mean, I hear what you're saying. We hear that. That is so true. Trying to find a place to rent is tough. When you have other barriers against you, it's harder.
You got it.
All right. Point taken. All right. That's all I got on that. So for Bertie County, 540 people got services. The breakdown is 422 were for mental health. 132 were substance use, and the 71 people received services for intellectual or developmental disability. And these are unduplicated numbers. And so what that means is people can get services under more than one category, but they're only up here one time. And that's all I got.
Questions,
Bobby? Bobby, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a couple questions.
Sure.
One in particular. Bertie County was one of the original litigants in terms of the opioid settlement. We were one of the first to sign on, and now all the states are getting, all the counties rather, mm-hmm. are getting opioid settlement. I mean, direct dollars coming to the counties mm-hmm. to be used to, you know, to deal with opioid overdoses and all kinds of things, right? So you have 28 counties, mm-hmm. right, that you cover. All 28 of these counties are getting these funds. So the question I have is, those counties like us are going to be looking for how do we spend these funds effectively right here in Bertie County. So we're getting support from the Commissioners Association. We're looking at best demonstrated practices, that people are going to be helping us try to spend that money wisely. But what is Trillium? What is going to be your advice in terms of how counties can work with you to, you know, where, you know, 1 + 1 = 3 rather than, you know, and usually the dollars come through the state and come down. That's not what's happening. They're coming directly right to the counties. So these counties are going to have to make decisions. So we need some good advice in terms of where our dollars can be best spent to help the most folks, right?
So the number one thing I would say is do not use that money for a billable service, because those services have a funding source. Use that money for something that can't already be billed for, because you don't want to use it for what's already out there that can be paid for through other avenues. So use it for things that aren't going to, that can't be billed. I would also say, I would talk to your county, to your people who are your boots on the ground, your providers, your schools, your law enforcement, to see what did they see the needs are, because they're the ones who are going to see it the most.
I think that's one of the things
some counties are partnering
to do, is bring, you know, organizations mm-hmm. together in the county and talk about what those needs are and what needs to be funded and what doesn't. One of the real problems we have, it's not just our county, but where's the bed space? You know, a couple of years ago, they were going to build this 200 bed space in Greenville on the last day of the budget 2 years ago, was cut out.
Mm-hmm.
So my understanding now is that that's still a problem, right?
Yeah. So, and the only one that got open was the one in New Hanover. And that was really because a lot of that funding really came, you know, that was the county was able to make that happen.
Then it goes back
because our budget got chopped.
And I hate to bring up old news, but you know, Trillium giving us $300,000+ that has to go for a park. How many $300,000+ were given to different counties to put a park accessories in that could have went towards mental health? You know, this was millions and millions and millions of dollars that went in the opposite direction of what should have been happening. Okay.
Well, so
and we sit here and we look at this and we say to ourselves, okay, you either spend it on this or you don't spend it at all. Is that not true? That's true. Okay. And here we are with a huge psychiatric issue in rural. Okay. The attention, and I guess the point I'm making is I hear all these great things that are these things that different, and again, this is not about you, Bobby, by no means, please. But I hear about all these BBDs, the bigger and better deals, and this, that, and the other. And in reality, at the end result, you don't see any of it, okay? It doesn't get there. It there's a missing link, as I said, okay? There's a missing link. And I guess the connectivity between rural and the state, okay, and these type of organizations, because they don't understand rule.
Add a little bit to the point that John's making. The reason that in the opioid settlement that mm-hmm. the funds are going directly to the counties, right? Because when it goes to the state decides how the money is going to be spent, mm-hmm. right? So that hasn't always been the best for rural areas mm-hmm. and small counties. So now these funds are going to go directly to us. Tell you how the difference it makes. John talks about the playground. We had just built a playground that was probably close to $300,000 ourselves.
Oh, Lord.
So Trillium comes and says, oh, we're going to give every county a playground. We says, we don't want it. We just built one. Give us the $300,000. Let us use it someplace else. And they say, it's a playground or nothing. That's what we want to avoid. Counties sometimes, I think almost always, know what they need best. So rather than bring us pre-designed things that we may or may not need, you know, some kind of dialogue with us about what are your needs and let us give that money to fit the specific need, involve the county into how that money is going to be spent. A perfect example was the playground. You know, we didn't need it, but we took it. Because we couldn't turn it back.
And that's the missing link. That's the connectivity that I'm talking about is not there.
And so one of the things with the playgrounds, and I can, you know, I work with that a lot. The playgrounds are not just a playground. They're meant to be accessible. so that kids with disabilities can play.
We just built one, just like we already built it.
And that is the exception, because I can guarantee you
but that's
most of the other counties around here don't have
an accessible
playground at all.
So the funds need to be, you know, designed to meet the needs of the county, not just blanket, everybody gets one. Well, it's great if you need it, but if that's not what you need, there are better ways to spend the money. I think that's a part of the job. Better ways to spend the money.
Thanks, Bobby.
All right.
Thank you so very
much. Thank you.
Joe Bland, I know you don't see him that much. He's retired.
Bland used to get the same thing.
So. It's all good. You'll break me in.
Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. Next on our agenda is the convening of the Board of Equalization. And Jody, are you going to come forward on that for us?
This first thing you need to do is go ahead and convene, and then we need to swear in Commissioner Balance and Commissioner White.
That's right. I didn't agree to that. We need a motion to convene as the Board of Equalization.
I make a motion we go into the Board of Equalization.
Second.
Commissioner Check, second by Commissioner Robinson. All those in favor?
Ayes have it.
No. Nay? No, none. All have it. Yeah. We are now sitting as a Board of Equalization.
Okay. I have Ms. Cartwright will swear in both commissioners.
Stand up, gentlemen. Raise your hand.
Let's go down
there. However, you won't do it. Okay.
Who's going first?
No, I thought I'm going to do it together.
Okay, so let me swear out front. All right. After I say I would like for you to say I and state your full name and repeat after me. Okay. I.
Board
of
Balance.
Do affirm.
Do affirm.
That I will support and maintain the Constitution.
That I will support and maintain the Constitution.
And laws of the United States.
And laws of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws of North Carolina.
Constitution and laws of North Carolina.
Not inconsistent therewith, and that I will faithfully. Discharge the duties of my office.
Discharge the duties of my office.
As member of the Board of Equalization and Review.
Yes, members of the Board of Equalization and
Review. Of Berkshire County.
Berkshire County.
North Carolina.
North Carolina.
And that I will not allow my actions.
I will not allow my actions.
As a member of the Board of Equalization and Review.
As a member of the Board of Equalization and Review.
To be influenced. By personal.
Or political friendships.
Or obligation.
So help me God. Good job.
You're going to need to let me not share that with me. Put a lot at one point.
Yeah, well.
I'm proud of it.
You did great.
I don't care. Swear is fine. Fire me to one. And then we can.
Team effort.
There we go.
Okay. After I say I, state your full name and repeat after me. Okay.
I, Michael White,
Do solemnly swear that I will support and maintain the Constitution and laws of the United States. And the Constitution and laws of North Carolina.
Not inconsistent therewith.
And that I will faithfully discharge
the duties of my office
as a member of the Board of Equalization and Review
of Berkshire County, North Carolina.
And that I will not allow my actions as a member of the Board of Equalization and Review to be influenced
by personal
or political friendships
or obligations.
So help me God.
Thank you, Michael.
Jody, why don't you just mention real quick to the audience here and on Zoom the importance of the Board of Equalization and Review, what they do.
Well, the Board of Equalization and Review is, in some counties, a separate board. You know, this board has decided to be both, which is completely fine. But it gives the taxpayers the opportunity to appeal or address any issues they have with their value. I have that authority up until the board convenes. Once the board adjourns, that's it for the year. The values are set. ahead of the budget so we know what we're working with. And then it starts over again the following January. So.
Right. Very important in terms of, you know, how citizens are impacted in terms of when they have appeals that they'd like to make, if they think the devaluation was not appropriate, they have a body to take that appeal to.
Right.
And we will hear it. But we do set the values for the state and for all citizens. And that determines the ad valorem tax rate. And that's how we run our budget from that. So, great. Thank you, Jody.
Any at this time, we do not have any appeals. So I recommend that we recess until the next meeting on the 17th.
Right.
Make a motion we recess to the 17th.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Would you properly second it? We recess. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Thank you very much. Must be doing something right. No appeals, huh?
don't
jinx us. Right. Okay. Next up for us is travel and tourism and coastal resilience update. My project consultant, Robin.
Hello, everyone. We have a change. We are going to be talking about tall glass of water updates and travel and tourism. Joe, can you put up the photos, please? Just a quick update. This is some pictures from a few days ago. This is the ADA path to the beach, and you can see the pipes to the left of the walkway. That's where the handrail will go. Then on the right, we were walking through the 2 miles of hiking trail a couple weeks ago. In this photo, we're just about ready to come up on the road as you're coming into, the site. So next slide, Joe. And then this is what's happening now. On the left is a picture of the picnic pavilion, the main section. And then the upper right, you can see the steel framing of the restroom walls. And then there's a view from further back. So we're getting there. 60 days. So. Now, tomorrow, Donna and I are meeting, and we are going to go over our options with regards to campsite reservations this summer. Remember that phase one included 8 primitive campsites, fire rings, etc. So we are going to research how we're going to start collecting reservations. What are we? There's a few options. So we'll have a report we can present at the work session that's coming up this month. We'll also talk about possibilities for the Year of the Trail event, which will be happening July 21st, 22nd, 23rd. That's the one where Edenton will be having something, as well as Salmon Creek and Tall Glass of Water at the same time. let's see. And then travel and tourism. Remember, for phase one, we are working with Destination by Design on countywide branding. Joe, can I have the next slide? We are meeting tomorrow via Zoom. And this is a photo. It's called a word bubble. And the largest words are what we learned from the surveys that went out to the community. Bertie County had a 17% return rate, which is great. No other county had that percentage. So DBD Planning works to take what they heard on their visits to Bertie, as well as their survey, and to start molding what they want to present as the brand message and their suggestion for the final logo. Once we're done with that, probably about another 30 days, then we'll move into Tall Glass of Water and working on different options for the board to select what final options are for Tall Glass of Water. So I thought this was a great slide because it, I think waterscape is great, you know, I mean, it it's what people are thinking: calm, scenic, special, rustic. It's great. And then, of course, once we're done with that, we move forward into phase two, which is the master plan. We are waiting for Department of Commerce to come to Bertie County for a site visit. And at that time, we'll sign our contract documents and then we can move forward. So that master plan will be great. That'll help us with strategic planning. That'll do a lot of mapping, a lot of asset development work. I think it'll be useful for us as a product to give, you know, whether we're talking about housing or small business development across the board, it'll be a useful document. So, any questions?
Yeah, Robert, you said you're waiting on Chambers of Commerce?
Okay. Department of Commerce.
Department of Commerce, right. Okay. Did they give you any intended dates?
For their visit?
Yes.
No.
Okay. One of the things I think citizens might want to know is, you know, how we're funding a major part of this work. We just received our third $500,000 grant from Parks and Recreation. And this is important because each of the last years, our grant, and this is a testament to the work I think Robbins has done for us, has been the highest scored grant submitted to Parks and Recreation each year. It's almost unheard of for a county to get in a row that many $500,000 grants, but they know how important this project is to Bertie County. And I think we've done a great job of putting all of the pieces together so that it makes sense in terms of why it's important for our citizens, but also how we're paying for it. That's an important piece for citizens to understand. So I think we're on track. Lot still to be done. Question I have is, for the opening, we've generally, prior to this, we've said we've been open, so citizens can come. Are we thinking about a soft opening this year? We're going to have some, you know, still some work down there and that kind of thing. What are your thoughts around how we do that?
We're going to talk about that tomorrow. It might be great to go ahead and have that opening, that July 21st, 22nd, 23rd. Just because even though they'll be done in 60 days, you know, we need some wiggle room. The last thing that that'll always be done on a project like this is seeding straw. You know, let's let that take. That'll give us 30 days. So if everybody feels good with it, waiting until that time, that might be a good want to do something sooner, but
I don't know. I don't want necessarily to make the decision, but let's keep that on the agenda. Last time we had a committee that worked right to help put the plan together, and they did a terrific job. We had unbelievable turnout. So let's start thinking about it and start planning ahead. Okay. We want citizens to understand, you know, a lot of folks don't listen to this. So, you know, way to get them down there to get them to see it.
And remember that part of the outreach will be done by the state.
Right.
So it's definitely Bertie County citizens celebrating phase one being completed. But at the same time, it's that year of the trail, you know, the state's really pushing it. It's good.
And we have officially, our project has been officially added as a point on the Roanoke River Partners.
Roanoke River State Trail.
State Trail.
We are a designated spot on the state trail.
Yeah, that'll get a lot of press all around the region and all around the state.
Thank you. I just have a question. I don't know if it's a good question or not, but I feel it, so I'm going to ask. Anything in the plans to support any kind of recreational fishing, like pier or anything of that nature?
That's a tough one at that spot because it is so shallow. So being shallow is a real benefit, especially to kids, you know. There's no way to put a pier in that location unless we want to keep maintaining.
You can go out 100 yards and still only be 9 feet in water.
Yeah.
That is a big issue, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's lovely that it's shallow, but at the same time, it's not really a fishing spot.
Okay, I just figured I'd ask.
That was the dream in the beginning.
That's what you need. But you can't put it because it's so low, it's so shallow.
Oh, you can put a boat ramp out there. You need a boat ramp somewhere in Burton County over there. But that's a different conversation for a different day.
Okay, thank you.
You can't have it there. I just need you to know. You can't have it there.
We got a boat ramp.
Yeah, we have one at over at, well,
Lewiston.
And I just did. I have one over at Connor.
We got one at Connor also.
Hopefully on the Salmon. And one being repaired at part of Salmon Creek State
Park. Right, right.
Is it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, we got
exactly.
Yep. Perfect.
Yeah.
There you have.
No, Salmon Creek, that's great.
Yeah.
If it's going to be repaired.
Yeah, totally. I already got the funds. All right. So next on our agenda is a financial summary from Director of Finance, William Robinson. Hello, William.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
All right. I'm going to try to make this quick and simple. Hopefully you got a sheet in your packet. The goal for February was 66.7%. We're going to look down the revenue section real quick and notice that interest earned on investments looks really good. That's a two-factor thing. One is having money in the bank and actually being earning on that money, which is something we had not seen in the last several years. So I'm very excited about actually starting to see some investment come back in on our money. The expenditures, for the most part, look fairly close. There's a couple of places that just kind of get out, but there's one I definitely want to talk about. I want to talk about it because I want to tell you where I'm currently at, and that it's going to be a topic of conversation a little later in the program. But the medical examiner, if you'll notice, it says 83.4%. During the month of March, I've already gone over by $5,000. That is the autopsies and all that are done in the county. I still have several months to go. So I do feel like that's going to be an area we're going to have to talk about how we're going to find money. But I'm going to leave that up for a later conversation.
Okay.
The rest of the things in there look fairly close. There's a couple of departments that's kind of a little bit above average, but they're not really that bad, especially compared to where we were last year at this time. The section down in the middle section still shows we have $11.8 million in the bank compared to about $8.7 last year at this time. And on the back page, water's still looking fairly well, but I do want to bring attention down to the bottom section, the reimbursables. You just heard Robin talking about all the work going on at Tallgrass Water. We've actually committed $354,000 up through February. We have submitted requests for reimbursement, which was filed middle of March. And we still have the outstanding amount for the water project, which I will leave open to a little conversation later on, which is going to address that. But I know we got like almost $500,000 spent of what we hope to get back real soon.
Well, you know, the question I'm going to ask is, you know, we've seen what that can do to us, right?
Right.
What are the ideas? We have some time between now and the end of this fiscal year. What are the thoughts about how we can, you know, mitigate this as much as possible?
And for the audience to know, June is the end of our fiscal year.
Well, Robin has actually told me today that she's got confirmation back on some of those reimbursements that she's sending in. So I know that should be coming within the next week or so. The water project is something we're going to address a little bit later on because we need to take care of some paperwork to get that straightened out. And once that gets done and sent in, we should be on track with that.
That's a little over about 4 cents on the tax rate right there. We would be in the year like this. This particular thing, we can't do that.
If this was in May or June, I'd be getting freaked out. But I think we have time to get this straight.
Well, we're going to be following that on all of our meetings. And we meet twice a month. Most of the meetings going up to budget time, right?
Right.
Okay.
We already got hammered once in 2019.
Yeah, we don't want that again.
We don't want that one again.
All right.
So any questions on the financial?
Thank you.
I'm going to step away because I do have one other thing and I'll be back.
You'll be back, right?
Yeah. <I'm>
back. Okay. Right. All right. Now, going on to board appointments, I know there is one board appointment today for Department of Social Services Board, and that's Section B in your package, commissioners. And I think we have two candidates who have expressed interest in that position, and they are Linda Speller, who was an ex-director of social services, and we also have William Michael Freeman, also who has expressed interest. So we have one opening at this time. There will likely be another opening coming up in June. In June. Yeah. Commissioner Robinson sits on that board. So we're gonna vote to replace the open position now, and we'll look then in June for the second. So what is your pleasure?
Make a motion for Ms. Speller to be appointed to the board.
Okay. A motion to appoint Ms. Speller. Is there a second? I'll give that second. All right. Any other motions from the floor? I move that we close the nominations on that one said name. Is there a second to that? Closing the nominations.
Second.
Great. Great. All those in it, well, we'll still take the vote anyway. All those in favor of appointing Ms. Linda Speller to the current opening for DSS board, please say aye. All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Thank you very much. Michael, thank you for your application, and we're going to have another opening coming up in June. So I hope you'll keep your name in the hat for us. Thank you. All right. Okay. On our consent agenda, we have approved budget amendments. William?
Good to be back.
Yeah, you're done.
Okay, there's a page in your budget amendments. There's a few simple ones in here. Give a little bit of explanation on the first one. When we got some grant money to do debris removal section in Long Branch, there was a section that would not be paid, and there was an agreement reached with Colerain to reimburse the county. That was done. This is just trying to get this money back into the account so everything checks out. We already paid the bill and everything. We're just waiting for their reimbursement. The next one is some additional low-income home water assistance program from the state. So I'm trying to get that put in there so they can use that. The next one is tax department got another bill from their county tax service for audits. And I'm trying to get this put in here like we normally do, increase the revenue and the expenses so I can pay that bill. I've had a request from CPTA to transfer the workforce employment money to RGP through the ROAP application. This is something we usually do every year. There's something in there that says we can use it in other places if they don't need it, but they've already requested that I go ahead and transfer it because they need it. So I'm asking them to do that transfer. And then we got a notice that DHHS was sending us some money for something called Links. So DSS asked me to set that account up.
Do you know what that is?
I really don't understand what it is.
But they're sending, not taking, right?
Oh, yeah, it's okay. Money that they're sending us to spend. But
so they receive the money. We just simply need to set up the account for it, right?
Yeah, I got to set up an account for it.
Okay.
I personally am not really sure what it means, but it's all handled through.
Yeah. I think we would like to know. Let's see if we can get an answer maybe by next meeting so we'll know exactly what it is.
Okay.
Is it spelled like it? You have it, or is it L-I-N-Q?
The paperwork I had in the back here, I think
it says Links. I didn't know. L-I-N-Q is a computer software. That's what I was asking.
Yeah, because right back there, if I got from DHSS, it says L-I-N-K-S.
I don't know what that is.
But yeah, I found out exactly what they can tell me that program is for. But the county has no obligation
to the dollars for an account, right?
Yeah. Now, so that's my budget amendments. Can I get a vote on that?
Yeah, we need a motion to approve the budget amendments.
Make a motion to approve the budget
amendments. Mr. Trent's motion. Do I get a second?
Second.
Second from Commissioner Ballance. All those in favor of approving the budget amendments as presented, please say aye. Those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Thank you.
Next. We have some project ordinances. I have several in the book. I want to talk about the first one I have in here. It's called the Local Assistance and Tribal Consistency Fund, or they refer to it as LATCF. There's some paperwork that follows it back there, gives some description about what the money is for and how you can use it. And the
$82,000?
It's $82,000.
Yep.
I have a request, suggestion, is that you allow the county manager and I to use these funds to handle some of the shortfalls we're having in some other places, such as my medical examiner, such as my juvenile detention, which has gone over budget. Some of the projects we're working on for the animal shelter to get past inspection, which is beyond budget. There's several little items out there that we definitely can utilize this money for to try to tie up some loose ends.
Okay. Would it be possible that we have a next, how soon do you need that? Is that something you need immediately? Or can you give us a list of those things for our next meeting coming up on the 17th? Or
well, I'll pretty much give you a summary of most of what I'm going to use it for right now, because I'm already, I know I'm $5,000 in the hole on the medical examiner. I'm probably going to be about $20,000 in the hole in juvenile detention. I have about $10,000 tied up with the animal shelter. So,
can I imagine what I'm saying is I think we need something in the record, you know, to record that this is what we're going to do with these bonds, right? That's been approved by the board. So we can get, even if it's a list, not a, that these, this is what we're going to spend. Okay. Not the amount, but these are the areas. We know what the amount is, of $82,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think we need something in the record that says we're going to spend in these categories.
Yes, sir. Yes, we can provide that.
Great. So we can have that by that next meeting. We can vote on it then. Is that good?
So you just can't put this in a general fund for them to use?
There should be a record.
Well, that's kind of what my goal was, to put it up there and then have my entries as I spend it to reflect what it was used for.
And then you have budget amendments coming back to us.
You were identified anyway as being used.
Yeah.
Exactly. But do we have the authority to do this since the fund was given to us as local assistance without saying how we're going to spend it?
Well, the guidelines pretty much said you can spend it the same way you would spend your regular tax dollars that you allocate.
Right, but I still think we need to be able to say on the record how we chose to spend those dollars. I don't want to just give a blanket.
So, Chairman, to your point, I don't think that is absolutely required, but absolutely for transparency, so we can absolutely provide that. However, some of these expenses where we kind of, they're already accruing it. It would be great if we could go ahead and take care of some things.
Absolutely. That's
so if you all could still approve it, we can still follow up with the list of exactly how it's been spent. But I think it is important for us to move forward with spending if you
We're looking for a motion then?
Yeah, looking for a motion.
I'll make a motion.
I'll make a second.
Great. All right. And we can look at having that by the next meeting.
Yes, sir.
Great. It's fine. All right.
Okay. I have another one that wound up not getting in the package. I accidentally left it all. All I had seen there, but I found out I did not. We have what is referred to is the OSBM directed grant. I think you've heard David maybe talking about some of it in here about projects we were working on, such as the basketball court, a recreation center, the animal, some money for the animal shelter, a 911 study, repaying the Title IV funds and the repairs at the Bertie Early College. I hadn't had opportunity to put together anything to present a project ordinance to you on that, but I thought I had it in the pack, but I accidentally did not. So I need to get this approved so I can go ahead and put this in the.
And these are things we already covered because we did on the record approve spend for these objects.
Yes.
Already.
So yeah, because you had a list in here that you actually sent in.
That is correct.
The justification on what you wanted to do with it. But I just would like to get it voted in the minutes so I can add it to the system.
Because that deadline is coming up very shortly, too, in terms of how this money was being appropriated with that, right? It's days away, my understanding.
You're looking for a motion?
Yeah, I don't want to be clear on this. There is a deadline coming up about how these funds are being directed.
Well, a lot of times it's basically you list on what you're planning on doing with it, which is pretty much what we're already doing.
Yeah, but there was an article just that came out just this week saying that there's a deadline to have submittal
of how you spent funds that were allocated in this?
Yes, sir. We've done that. So we've got approval for all these projects that he has already mentioned.
Right. So that's been submitted.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
that's the layout of how I actually put this in the system, what we plan on spending the money. Okay. I don't think it's actually spent. It's
right.
What you plan on spending on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Then with the motion, I will make the following amounts are available for expenditures for the projects. Basketball court, $58,613. Public Beach Recreational Center, $507,000. Bertie County Animal Shelter, $208,387. North Carolina 911 Assessment and Study, $18,000. Repayment of Title IV-E funds, $59,000. And water line repairs for the Bertie Early College at $49,000 with a grand total of $900,000. That'd be correct, County Manager?
Yes, sir.
That is correct. Okay, it's been read in the motion.
The motion is second to the motion. Second. By Commissioner Robinson. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Ladies and gentlemen, that's $900,000. Didn't come out of the taxpayers' dollar pockets that we're going to be able to spend to do these projects in Bertie County. It's a wonderful thing.
Okay. Next, I think I'm going to get the county manager to help me on this, but I think I need for you to convene
as Water District 4. This has to do with the Lewis and Woodville Water System Project.
Okay, right. I have a motion to convene as Water District 4.
I make a motion we convene in Water District 4.
Commissioner Trent, is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. We now sit as Water District 4.
Okay. In Water District 4, I have two projects. This is where some of the confusion came in because it's two different projects. And in one case, they treat it as one project, but it's not going to be handled that way. So, the first project ordinance is a revision to an original project ordinance we adopted several months ago, and we reduced the amount by $247,000. The reason being is I have another project ordinance over here that's going to account for the $247,000. That's what they call the asset inventory system. So in order to try to get all my paperwork straightened out, I need to approve the revision, and I need to also adopt the second one.
Okay.
Does this have to do with the grant for Lewiston?
Yes.
Okay. And that grant was a total of how much money?
Originally, we said 4.9 and 247, but then there comes some confusion there that the 4.9 included the 247.
Okay.
So I was having to try to get them to explain to me what was going on. I finally got confirmation back this week that the 4.9 did include the 247.
Okay.
So we need to drop it down to 4.6. And then the 247 was going to be a separate project.
So you need a motion for the $4.6 million for the one project and $247,000 for the second
project. For the second project. Yes, sir.
I think you just heard a motion.
And was there another piece of it? Is that the right order you want?
That's the order I'd want. That's yes.
Okay.
Motion's been made.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Commissioner Robinson. All those in favor of the allocation of this grant as determined by the
finance director.
All those say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Thank you, William.
Now, my last order is you need to
adjourn.
Adjourn.
What is it for?
Okay.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay. Do a second. All those in favor of adjourning as Water District 4, please say aye.
Aye.
Nay, none. Ayes have it. Thank you. All right. So, got that. Next on the consent agenda is to approve the audit firm Martin and Jenkins CPA selected for the 22-23 audit.
Yes, sir. Commissioners, as you are, come on, David. As you are aware, you are in agreement with, we've currently been with our auditor, the current auditor, for 4 years. I believe you all were in agreement with us to meeting out of putting out a request for proposals for other auditing firms. And my assistant county manager and finance director will lay out that process for you and tell you where we are.
Okay. I get to actually be up here for a while now and take over William's job. Okay, as you know, that in February, we did put a request for proposals out for auditors. We've received 5 responses, staff from the county manager's office. We are staff. We did it. We reviewed the proposals. We checked their references, and we selected Malden and Jenkins CPA as the best candidate for the upcoming year. Staff recommends now that the county commissioners authorize the county manager to negotiate and prepare the contract with Malden and Jenkins CPA to perform fiscal year 2023 audit for Bertie County. And we will bring the back to the board at the next meeting, the final contract for your approval. We've already talked with Malden and Jenkins, and they have agreed to participate. It'd be as long as we get everything worked out. The contract is not to exceed $90,000 for the first year.
So do you need a motion for us to do that now or wait until you bring the contract back now?
Yes, sir. Okay. Now would be great.
Okay. So what you have in front of you, board, is the motion to approve the audit firm Malden and Jenkins CPA for selection year 22-23 audit. I'll make that recommendation. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and properly second. All those in favor of Malden and Jenkins as our CPA for the upcoming year, say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Ayes have it. Thank you.
Jonathan, I'll send you a copy of the contract tomorrow if you start.
All right. All right. Dave?
I'm next, too.
Okay. All right. We're going into the discussion agenda. The first thing is the recreation complex, the basketball court addition. You saw the funding that we had in the part of that $900,000 that we got from the federal government and how we're using it. Part of this is for that basketball court that's long been asked for. Dave's going to give us an update.
So you asked for an update on it. The overall cost of the project at award was $58,613. That was the estimate we got from previous
plans,
construction designs, and we upped the price a little bit to address for inflation. The funding from the state has been secured, and like you said, you just did approve the funds to be used. Our Parks and Recreation Director, Donna Mazzell, has provided baseline quotes for the various parts of the project, but in order to address procurement and contract procedures, we need to be secure three bids for the entire project as a whole, not individually. So the development of that bid package is being done right now, and we're hoping to get that out soon.
Okay. Are we working off those original plans, David, that were designed? Is that kind of this what we're looking for to present?
We have the previous design that was done, and we're using that as a template.
Okay.
So we're not far along in it yet, but we do have it.
Just want to make that, yeah. And citizens should understand, we're talking about a basketball court that's long been asked for at the recreational complex out past the hospital, right? Everybody knows where that is, where we have the ball fields and soccer and everything else. But the one thing that citizens have asked for years is a basketball place to play. We don't have a single hoop out there, right? And so we put it into our budget, and we're going to do just what we said we're going to do. We're going to bring a really nice basketball court. I'm not talking about a concrete surface where you can go up and beat the ball up. We're talking about a real nice place to play, right? With nice rims and the whole works. Wouldn't it be nice if we could post the picture that we had on our site and just say it's a prototype at this point or something? It's not right, so folks can see it when we do the announcement of this.
Okay.
This is great. Good work. Right. So
I'm not going.
You don't need anything. You have that to go forward.
I don't need anything. No, it's just for information purposes.
Okay. All right. So you're still there?
I'm not going.
Any questions for the board about the basketball court? if you haven't seen it, take a look, because it has a composite surface and seating, really nice, and it's over in the corner. If you know where the soccer field is, there's a place cut right. We're looking to cut right into those trees to put it there, so it's kind of shaded. But you have good access to parking, and we do have a prototype. Take a look at it. It's really slick. Okay.
Okay, well, the next one is the Fire Service District Next Steps. At our last meeting, commissioners directed us, the staff, to address the fire study presented by our consultant with the municipalities of Bertie County to determine their interest in initially being part of the service district as it was presented. To accomplish this task, the consultant has written a letter to the municipalities, which I actually received right before this meeting, and it provides the public funding cost share between the unincorporated and municipal areas for them, but it also encourages them to participate in the upcoming mayor and commissioners meeting dinner on April the 13th. where our consultant will be available to share this information once more and to answer any questions they might have. If there are municipalities that don't participate in the dinner, then it's going to be up to our staff to go out to the municipalities and cover this with them. And we plan on doing that as soon as we know who doesn't show up at that meeting. After the meeting, if the municipalities choose to participate in the service district, they'll be asked to adopt a resolution releasing their control and ownership of the fire service and releasing the primary funding responsibility to the county. This resolution provides Bertie County commissioners the authorization to tax property owners within the municipalities, just as they would with the unincorporated areas, for fire protection services. The Board of Commissioners will also need to adopt a resolution that caps the rate of the service district and calls for a public hearing to establish a service district. That'll be done after we meet with the municipalities. Once the public hearing has been held, the county will then adopt a budget with the service district rate and implement service district model with the fire commission that it will be established at that time. So those are the next steps: to meet on the April 13th at the dinner, to share with the municipalities, to get them to either say yes or no, they don't want to be part of the service district, have them then have a public hearing and move forward.
Questions to David about the next step?
And Mitch is online, so if you have questions that I can't answer, he can answer.
Well, I think the perfect way to do it, David, is as you suggested, at the quarterly meeting that we have with town commissioners, mayors, and this board. It's well attended, and so this is a perfect place to get it out there and introduce it. Citizens need to understand that what we're trying to do here is not just put a tax on anybody for a fire district. What we realize is that right now we're giving, I think, $60,000 a year to every one of the
360,000 total.
Yeah, 360,000 total to our volunteer fire departments. We do know that that's not sustainable. We need a better way to make sure that their volunteer fire departments are getting what they need. And so what we're saying is that we'd like to move that burden so that the funds from the citizens in that district can go directly to their fire unit there. Better way to do it on the long term that can keep them, you know, working, improve their accessibility. They can still raise funds on the side if they so choose to, but at least the funding process will be a little more seamless and we can hopefully improve service to our citizens. So that's the object of this thing. So we're taking it step by step, working through it. So great work, David. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay. And I'm going to go ahead and take the third next, number three, too.
Got it.
Okay. Number three is the mayor and commissioners dinner on April the 13th at 7 p.m. Askewville Baptist Church. We are the host. We are the presenter. Yes. The subject of discussion that night. We're the one. So
important question though.
Pardon me.
Important question. What's for dinner?
That you'll have to call Askerville and ask them. All I did was make sure that we got on the agenda. We are the only thing on the agenda, so I know that you're going to be out of state. But the rest of you, I think it's my personal opinion that having a full, as big a strong presence there of all the commissioners to help support this and help encourage them to this, and any of you who good relations with other commissioners and mayors of the other municipalities, you will reach out to them and encourage them to be part of this. It would be great.
And the reason we have this meeting once a quarter is because we can talk directly with the mayors and town commissioners about the things we're working on. They can talk directly to us on their needs and the things that they're working on. So we keep that communication alive. We're looking to do more partnership working. A lot of the grants are not just grants for the county, but include the municipalities as a part of it. So it's an excellent venue. We've done it for many, 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 many years. It's always very, very well attended. So we look forward to this one.
And I've been to a couple of them since I've been here. None of them have had bad food. So I
think the food is always great. I think they try to do it. We move it around for different places. And that's why they always, one tries to outdo the other one on the food. So we have some pretty good meals, I got to tell you. That's for sure.
Mr. Balance, you had a question?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'll be flying back into the town. I plan on being there.
Great. Okay. Next thing on the agenda, item four, is the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Report to the People presentation, 417 of 23 in the community meeting room.
Which is prior to COVID, this is something that Cooperative Extension would do annually, provide a report to the people, to the commissioners, and they would provide lunch. And so the director, Billy Barrow, is ready to start back doing that, and they would like to do it at our next work session. However, this, well, I'm requesting an amendment to our current meeting schedule because the next meeting, which is the work session, is scheduled to be in here, and he would like for it to be as requesting that we have it in the community meeting room right across the hall from there, the kitchen. They were going to prepare lunch, and it would be very convenient for them if they could do it there. So if you all would honor that request, I'll just need a motion to amend our meeting calendar, and the only thing we're changing is the location from the commissioner's room to the community meeting room.
Right. You've heard the request from the county manager?
Yes, sir.
What time again?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. Yeah, sir. You've heard the recommendation from the county manager. What is your pleasure?
I made the motion that we accept the invitation from Mr. Byron.
All right. And to make it a part of this date and that location. Mr. Ballas, second for you. Okay, great. All those in favor, please say aye. All those opposed, nay. Hearing none, ayes have it. Thank you. We can confirm that with the
Chairman. I will not be here. I'll be out of town. All that good food.
Well, here's another event coming up, food. This is the Mideast Commission Meet 56th Annual Meeting 420 of 23 at 6:30 at the Washington Civic Center. If you would like to attend, you can. I think those who are members of the Mideast do not have to pay. And we have the best turnout of any county, not only for this meeting, but I mean in terms of representation within the Mideast of any county in this region of the five counties, including Pitt. We have people elected from our municipalities who are there every single meeting and bringing their agenda and the things that they need for their district. The Mideast provide services. It's the COG that represents five counties. Most of the federal dollars come through the cuts. Excuse me. Most of the state dollars come through the COGs that go to the counties. So having presence on there is important. We used to be kind of lax for years back, but we've turned that around. And so in 2 years from now, we'll be back on our turn to be chairman of the Mideast Commission. I was the last chairman 2 years ago, and so we'll be coming up again. So, and I think that person who's there is now serving as the Secretary of Treasury, and they automatically kind of move up in the ranks. But I want to let you know that Bertie County is well represented on this funding body. Very well. So it's there. If you'd like to come, the invitation is there for you. I will be there for sure.
Chairman, if I may add, the cost of that is $25, and we have been invited by Executive Director Brian Buck, and the deadline to RSVP is April 7th. So if any of you are interested, please let me know as soon as possible, and we will take care.
And I have already.
Okay, yeah, great. And if anybody else wants to join us, let us know.
Right, and you can bring a guest if you'd like, as long as you register for it and pay for the guest. Okay, and it's at the Washington Civic Center. Yeah, you want to, you come automatically, and I'll make another if you'd like to. Okay, great. Commissioner's reports. I think we have a closed session matter. Is that correct? Okay.
You did at the end.
You want to do that at the end? Okay, great. So are there any commissioner reports at this point? Start with Commissioner Robinson?
None at this time.
Commissioner Trent?
Well, I'm going to be out of town in Kentucky from the 12th through the 19th.
Great. Commissioner White? Okay. Commissioner Ballance?
No, I'll be out of town 10th through the
All right, great. Couple of things just for citizens from my district. There are two things that we're very, very proud of. If you live in South Windsor, you know the problems we had with Highway 17, 13, and DOT is paving that all the way from near Kitty World, which they had paved already that far, all the way up to Windsor. So they should finish that this week. It's a long awaited. That road has been tough. You remember when we had issues down at Morning Road and Wooded Road, they made commitments to us about paving. They've done that. And it looks really, really good. So I want citizens to know who waited to see this. DOT promised that they would fund it, and they have. So we're very proud of that. The other, just other little piece I had is that Roanoke Connect also, that's expanding their broadband service through their own funds. I've made a real commitment to Bertie. They started again in South Windsor. We've now pretty much, we're not turned on yet, but they've wired most of South Windsor up to Windsor. Now they're moving beyond that. So if you're anywhere in the county, they'll be coming to a place near you real soon. But it does take about 45 days after they've got the lines in that district before they turn the switch. In my case, I called up and I already signed up for it. It's $60 a month, right, for 100 up and 100 down megabyte. That's like crazy. That's what you see in Wake County, Charlotte, places like that. If you want to add your local phone service and long distance to it, it's an extra $35. So if an, you know, $85, right, or $95, get a complete package. If you want to even on a high, even higher speed, right, that's available at a cost of $80. So it's coming near you. Check their site. But they're doing this on their own dime. We do have Spectrum that's going to be coming in here for us shortly. Going to wire about 2,600 homes. And then after that, we will have a grant through the state in the late second quarter to fill in all those gaps that are not covered by Roanoke Connect, not covered by Spectrum. The county will help fund additional grant. We put up the matching dollars through the feds that will hit those places like my home. I live a half a mile off Highway 17, but only thing I have is satellite, okay? Because my home sits back over 500 feet and the additional carriers, you know, their radius is only 300, right? So this will take care of people like this, or you live where the end of a road someplace and it's not profitable for one of these for-profit companies to do it. This will be the money that we'll put up to make sure we get it. So that's a big deal, all right? Great. Anybody else?
Mm-mm. You said a lot.
I'm sorry, I had to say something. But
I do have one item, yes, something we were just informed of today that does affect three of our commissioners. As you all know, once a commissioner is elected, he or she, in our case, all he's, must take 2 hours of ethics training within 12 months of being elected. And we were informed today that the online training via Zoom will be held on May 25th from 10 till 12. So upon confirmation of my three latest elected commissioners, we can register you for that. Otherwise, we'll, hopefully there'll be another session scheduled later in the year. But this date is May 25th from 10 a.m. until 12 noon.
Manager, have you checked with my personal secretary? I think I have one of the three. It's completed that.
Okay. You already done
your, I think my profile, my file is just thick.
Very good.
And training.
Very good.
I think I have too. Have another shot. Yeah. Thank you.
You're right.
We'll check on that. Everybody looks like may have completed already. We'll check on that, but I definitely wanted to put it out there. We'll check on it. We'll check on
it. You sent him it, I did. I was supposed to.
Okay, you're good. To the essentials.
There's some different else to let fish.
Okay.
Yes, you can't get out of this
one. Nice try, though. Okay, that's all I have.
All right, great. Thank you. County Attorney, anything for us? Okay, great then. Yes.
I have 2 seconds.
Yes, sir.
As you know, I'm the on the Chona Area Housing Consortium. I'm the representative for Bertie County. And I want to read a little brief. I sent you all something earlier today.
all the updated information, charts, and things like that. But the consortium is currently developing a consolidated plan to assess affordable housing needs and community development goals that will help prioritize decisions for the federally funded Home Investment Partnership Grant. Of that, we got the five counties that are participating are Bertie, Halifax, Hartford, Martin, and Northampton counties, and the municipalities within those five counties. Year one funding for the consortium is $854,000 and some change. The HOME program is used specifically and exclusively for affordable housing activities to benefit low-income households, projects such as multifamily apartment buildings, special need housing, first-time buyers assistance, and rental assistance. The process to identify needs include a need assessment and market analysis, to which the community survey remains online for another week. It's on our website. I've had them repost it. So you might want to talk to anyone you know in Bertie County to ask them to go online and complete it. It does a needs assessment. It's really quick. It takes about 5 minutes. And it explains, it asks your opinion on what you believe the needs for Bertie County are in regards to multifamily.
And we had the third highest out of the five so far responders, but we need more. So everybody's taking it. It really only takes 10 minutes to do it.
So the consortium will then take that assessment and prioritize the needs based off of the assessment, develop strategic goals for the funding to be provided. Consolidated action plan will be approved and then submitted to HUD, to which then the funds will be awarded for us to address. We've actually met twice now, and we've already identified priority needs, but still the survey is not done yet, so we can still make any amendments we need to. The priority needs that were identified so far based off of the surveys were affordable housing development, preserving existing housing stock, improving capacity of the local housing providers, and to increase home ownership opportunities. And the 2023 projects for this funding that we were receiving. And just remind you, we will be getting funding every year, not just this year, but we have to put these first pieces of it into action before the 2024 sometime. Right. I don't remember the date.
So Dave, the way citizens need to understand is each county put money in. And because we each did, it makes it easier for us to get approved through the federal for the output of money. So it was a smart move for us, right? I know you're probably going to get to this. And my question is about how does this really work in terms of our flexibility around what we do as opposed to what the other counties do?
Well, it's going to be distributed. The projects we've identified are affordable rental owner construction, affordable housing development, purchase assistance, and owner-occupied housing rehab. The way it's designed, 15% of it goes to the local housing development. Chad, I can't remember exactly what their name is. I'm sorry. But Choke?
Chono?
Yeah. Thank you. So some of it go to them to help them initiate it. And then the rest of it will go based off of the plans that are developed in future. But we will get the funds in. And then based off of the consortium and the projects they've identified, we'll start working on those. It might be one time a project in Bertie County. It might be one project in Hertford County. Halifax is the organizing is the key player for this, and they will be helping us to.
That's what I want to make, Dave. I just want to sit to understand. They're not going to just split up the money and give every county a piece of the money, right? Those counties have to work together around what they identified as the priorities, right?
That's correct.
And then how they do it, right? I'm hoping, David, that a lot of consideration will be given to Bertie County, because in the housing specs, the need, we pretty much near the top. If we're not at the top of the list, we're mighty close in virtually every one of those areas, because we have, you know, we don't have a lot of housing. So I hope that would be a consideration, a strong consideration.
So and like I told you a few moments ago, I forwarded the proposed funding budget for the consortium's first year, along with the survey results thus far to you earlier today. And I would again encourage you to talk to your citizens to go online and complete the survey so that more information can be assessed.
David, have they selected the county? Have they selected the county that houses the first group? They have not?
No.
Okay.
That's why that survey is so important. Right. And we had, and our citizens have been doing pretty well. I mean, I know copy came to me and I just blasted out on Facebook, right? Everybody say, do it. You can go in and pull it off. Do we have it on our site?
Yes.
I would advise everybody, a lot of you guys have Facebook friends stuff. Pull it off the site, send it out to your friends, ask them to do it.
Joe, I'm saying yes, because I did ask you to do that again today. But, you know, I'm assuming it's back up there.
Yeah, well, we're doing pretty good. We're ahead of Martin. We're ahead of several other counties. But I think we're the second or third highest number.
But it was the last consortium meeting was very well participated.
Right.
And so I think that this is a very big positive for all five counties.
Right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. That was very important. Okay. So now, have public comments? Are we going to? Yeah, we have nothing online. Any public comments here for citizens who are here with us? Any comments that you'd like to have about anything you've heard so far, or questions, whatever? Great. Well, thank you for attending. We do have a closed session, right? So I need a motion to go into closed session. Do our second.
Second motion that we're going to close session for you to NCG S-143-318.11-3-6.
Okay, great. All those in favor, please say aye. Going to close session. Aye. Any opposed? Nay? Ayes have it. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being here with us today. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen who are still there, Joe, if anybody's there, still turn them back in.
There's no one here but us.
Great. Okay. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you, folks. Amen.